Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, calling all warriors to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stay tuned for today's message. Hear the word of God, which will demonstrate that God is a warrior. This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James, reminding you that God is a warrior. So glad to be with you again today for this broadcast as we get into the Bible study. And before we get into that, I am going to reiterate what I've been saying. I said last week, and I will be doing it for as long as possible, giving you this special message before the Bible study, and that message is that there is no way, that there is no teaching that says anything contrary to the fact that no Bible-believing Christian should be a threat to the government ever. There is no such thing as Bible-believing Christians being a threat to the government. No Christian should ever march against the government. I've always had a reservation of true believers marching in a union strike. I've always had a problem with that. And I was pretty heavy in the union at one time. And I just felt that in my soul that to march against a company that is putting food on your table because your union can't do its job. You know, a strike, whenever there's a strike or, you know, picketing against the company, it's because of the union's inability to negotiate a good contract, because they don't really negotiate anything. The company gives you what they want you to have. And what the union does, if you don't get what you're asking for, if they don't get you what they ask you're asking for, they make you walk and shut the company down and cost them more money. But that's a different story. No Christian should march against the government ever. There's no such thing in the Bible. And we'll talk about that in a second. No Christian should take up arms against the government. This is satanic and demonic. And it is the reason I say satanic and demonic, because the scriptures are as clear as day. Now, there are some areas in the Bible that can be debated and be expounded upon. And, you know, there could be debates, but there's things, scriptures in the Bible, that there's no debate. It's crystal clear. You do not march against the government. You obey the government so that it may be well with you. No Christian should march against the government. No Christian should take up arms against the government. This is not right. It's not biblical. And when you do that, you are not only are you out of line biblically, but most likely it just shows that you really are not one of the sons of God. Now, I'm saying these things before every Bible study because all the major networks reported in the past that it was the evangelical Christians that put the current President Donald Trump in office. And as I speak today, which is November 8th, 2019, the impeachment of this president has begun, from what CNN and all the networks are saying. They're actually beginning public impeachment hearings. And it is possible that these evangelical Christians in the United Sodomites of America here will probably follow Donald Trump's order to rise against the government, which is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, if there's Republicans, Democrats, or independents, or whatever, rising against the government and so forth, that's that. That's their business. But no Bible-believing Christian should ever be a threat against the government, should march against the government, take up arms against the government, or anything. So we see here in the scriptures, I want to just say that the idea here is what people are saying, we're not against the government, but, Trump or Bush or Reagan or Obama, but let's use Trump. You know, America is God's country, and he's trying to save America, so if they get rid of him, America's going to go down, and we're going to go and do this. Well, let me tell you what Jesus says for those of you who are true Christians. Jesus said to the people who wanted him to rise against the Roman Empire, you see, the nation of Israel was God's nation because God said, these are my people. They were under military occupation of the Romans, which is a historical fact around 2,000 years ago, as most of the known world, or all the known world at the time, was under military occupation of the Roman Empire. And here comes this King Jesus, who says he's come to save his people. He claimed to be the king of the Jews, and he was sent, as he said, by Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah, by God. Okay? And so these people, the Jews, asked him to do the same thing that King David did, the same thing that Judah did. They asked Jesus to do the same thing that Zerubbabel did, and the military men, Samson did. And that is, people free. Amen. And here's what Jesus said about Israel and about marching and coming against the government. And let me tell you something. If anyone could wipe out the Roman Empire, it would be just the Son of God himself. Here's what he said. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, I would fight. People, America is of this world. It is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, according to what Jesus said, is within you. It is not by observation. So just that statement there is proving this demonic, satanic deception of the evangelical Christians who claim that America is God's country, and that this man or any man that is standing for America, that America is God's country. Jesus said that he would not rise against the Roman Empire because the Roman Empire was no threat to the kingdom of God. Amen. And there is nothing happening now, and no one stopping you now, and no one gonna stop you from following Jesus in the kingdom of God. If Trump is impeached or if he serves another 4 years, it does not affect the kingdom of God. Lies from the devil exposing the end time prophecy of the apostasy of false doctrine. Okay, so we're going to get into Bible study now, but at each Bible study, until I am told to stop, I will remind you Christians, there is no such thing as opposing the government, because there are some things coming down, and we are to obey the government whichever way they go. Martial law is the government's decision. You obey it. Amen. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. We're going to get to the Bible study. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 12 through 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 12 through 16. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. But if you don't, just listen. And we'll start here at verse 12. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many. I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests, these are the Pharisees, to bind all that call on your name. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, Ananias, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name. Today's message is entitled, Everybody, Everyone Has a Past. Your past determines your destiny. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The things that we as believers suffer, the things that we have suffered, our troubles, our trials, our tribulation, are based on the level of evil that we partook in our unsaved life. I'm going to say that again. What you've been through, sister, and what you're going through, brother, you're going to come out of it. But it is based on the level of evil that we partook in our unsaved life. The people that are used, the situations that we find ourselves in, and the severity of these matters are tailor-made by God Almighty to confront and eliminate the evil we gave place to in our unbelieving state. Therefore, our real battle is with the unregenerated mind, because we have yet to renew our mental thinking to line up with the new spirit that now lives in us. Amen. Let me tell you something. Mental thinking is the key. Lining your mind up with the new man, the new spirit that now lives in us. But this can be changed, and we can be set free as believers. Because Jesus did not save us to go to heaven, because we cannot go in our present state. But good news, slowly but surely, and the Bible talks about a process of time, slowly but surely, we can get there, which is God's plan for you and me all along to change us from sinners into saints. Amen. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, as we go here, praise the Lord, in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, the level of evil that is done to you as a believer is meant to shape you into one of the sons of God. And the things that we suffer, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations that we have been in and that we're going to go through, and I want to just say to you right now, it's supposed to become less and less. It's not supposed to become more harder to get up the mountain, because you're supposed to be more and more like Christ. And the things that you struggle with are to be more or less like a fly on your shoulder. Amen. So let's look at here. Verse 13. So God is speaking to Ananias and telling Ananias, I got a new recruit from you, and he is Saul, the devil, Christian killer, of Tarsus. Here he is. Ananias, a man of God, praise the Lord, being able to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ, said here in verse 13, and Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here he hath authority with the chief priests to bind all that call on his name. the number one enemy in the Bible, in the New Testament, of Jesus were the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Jewish rabbis, who were the, first they were the strong arm of the Roman occupation of Israel. That was number one. That's why they had so much power with Herod and Pontius Pilate. Number two, every time you turned around, the scripture says, and then come Jesus, or then come, and then come the Pharisees to tempt Jesus. And the Pharisees came again to tempt Jesus. And the Pharisees came to Jesus saying, thou must have a devil. And the Pharisees come again and saying to Jesus, is it good for a man to marry? These are the ones chosen by God who eventually were behind the persecution of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the chief priest. Yet Saul of Tarsus, amen, had authority from them to kill other Christians on a regular basis. And here he comes in now, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Verse 16, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We've always asked, why did Paul have to suffer so much? In verse 13, it says right here, because of how much evil he had done to the saints in Jerusalem. So he wasn't paying for his sins because Jesus did it on the cross. You see, the amount of money you give in the church just means you're going to be a broke soul in the lake of fire because you cannot buy the Holy Ghost. The evil that was in Paul, the unclean spirits that was in that man, and there are unbelievers that have lived and died that will not murder and will not have anything to do with killing anybody, let alone Christians. These demonic powers, these strongholds had to come out. And it's the same way with you and me. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is entitled, Everyone Has a Past. Your past determines your destiny. And in order for God, we say in order for God to use you, that's not correct. It's not about God using you. Everybody is not supposed to be in the ministry. I've said this before about people who have quit their jobs with wives and children in homes and said that God called them into full-time ministry. What is going into full-time ministry, amen, have to do with quitting your job and the wages that God has supplied for you? When, therefore, you actually become a full-time beggar is what you become, because if you're going to go into full-time ministry like Paul left it all. He didn't bring his wife. He was married. He didn't bring his children. He didn't bring his house and said, listen, you got to help me with this because I'm preaching the gospel. Every believer is a full-time minister. And primarily, your full-time ministry is right at the job you work at and the family that you're in. You're going to leave your job where there's hundreds of people there or 50 people there of different walks of life and go into build a church or go into a church to pay rent, electric, gas, and all that stuff for 10, 11 people to show up? That don't make any sense. Paul had to be changed. And in order to change Saul of Tarsus, let's call him Saul of Tarsus, he had to go through some things. And the things he went through was a result of what he had given place to in his life. And I read this again here. The things that we suffer, take a look at what you've been through in your life as a believer. Look back as a believer. You will see, and you'll see it today if God shows it to you, what you've been through were tailor-made for you. And, of course, we are sincere, but most of us are sincerely wrong when we say, oh, the devil knows just what to do. He knows just where to hit you. He knows just what to do. But brothers and sisters, if the devil knew what to do, don't you think he'd be trying to dig himself out of the lake of fire? Don't you think he'd be trying to negotiate himself out of the pit? But he knows just what to do to get to you. That don't make sense. I've heard that, of course, all throughout my Christian life, and it's sincerely wrong. God knows just what to do. God knows just where to hit you. God knows just where to touch you. God knows who to use. He knows when to use them, and he knows how to use that person to bring out of you. Look what came out of you when these things happened. When you suffered, when you had trials and tests, look what came out of you. Go back. Go back in your mind. Your mind, the soul, is the tape recorder of your life. You can remember right now what happened. You can think about things that when you were 5 years old, you can remember that. I'm sure that you can remember your troubles and trials. Look what came out of you. Now look at you now. Not saying that you're perfect. Not saying that you are everything that God wants you to be, but you shouldn't be what you used to be. Amen. So this is what happened with Paul. Paul had to go through all of these things. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many, not by a few people, of this man and how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem. So we now know why Paul had to suffer. Now, he couldn't be beaten, and neither can you. But you got to ask yourself, why do we suffer? Amen. Why do we go through the things we go through as individuals? I mean, we all go through, let's just do this here. Everything we go through has one main reason, to identify you with the kingdom of God. So when you look in the Bible and look at the kingdom of God and those who are in the kingdom of God suffers violence. As God was rejected and the Lord God, the creator of all things, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been rejected by the entire human race. And if it were not for choosing before the world began, if it were not for Jesus choosing who was going to be saved, then everyone would be lost. I'm not going to get into that today because apparently that is a big issue, but it's not a big issue with some. It may be a big issue with your pastor. Because if he talks that way about the book of life and that whomsoever is going to be saved was written in that book of life, he may have to go out and find a job because he may go from 200-300 people in his church to 4 or 5 people. Because it's probably only the 4 or 5 people that are living right, striving, abstaining from evil, while the other 240 are doing whatever they want to do, lighting up their Newport 100s, and drinking their Budweiser, but then they're coming to church and Bible study and choir rehearsal and going back and living with their boyfriends, but they got to go to choir rehearsal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when somebody tells them, you ain't going nowhere doing these things, but to the lake of fire, they just say, okay, well, I'm not going to stop doing it, and I'm going to stop going to church. And the tithes will stop coming in, and the pastor might just have to go out and get a job when he needs to just tell the truth. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is this is why we suffer. And the name of the Bible study today is talking about that. We have a past. Paul had a past. And everyone that is a believer has a past. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is designed for you, and it's designed for me. Your past determines your destiny in Christ. Paul's destiny, Acts chapter 9, verse 16. This is Jesus talking. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, you've got to ask yourself, why? Why did he have to suffer so much? And why do we suffer at all? And you get all these different answers that are sincere. most of them sincerely wrong. I've told you before, there is nothing wrong with error. Error will not hurt you. You can live in error for most of your, for all your Christian life, and you will go into the kingdom of God unless error leads to sin. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in taking blood. And they go to the scripture that says that we should not take blood. So if a Jehovah's Witness who's living a true Christian life, which is, I don't know if that's possible because the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They strip him of his deity and they say Jehovah is the way. So I don't know if a Jehovah's Witness can ever be truly saved. But them not taking blood is not a sin, although it is error, because the text that in the scriptures that we're talking about is that the Greeks legitimately ate food at that time that were not cooked. When we say cooked totally, it was cooked to the point that the blood was still in the meat. It was part of their tradition. And when they became Christians, the Apostle Paul said, you can't do that no more. The Greek men, if you ever watch, you know, you ever see these things with the Greek gods, their hair and all that, and, you know, Zeus and movies about Alexander, their hair is down to their waist. And Paul said, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And he's talking to the Greeks, Thessalonians, Galatians, Corinthians. These are Greeks. Thessalonia exists today. Corinthians exist today in the Greek area. There are soccer teams named after these areas. And so the Greek culture was that the men's hair went down to their waist. And so what they say now in Christendom, in evangelical Christian, is, well, you got to cut your hair to be a Christian. Oh, there's a whole lot of pedophiles with short hair, Pastor. Oh, you got to cut your hair and make it look neat. You look like a Christian. Yeah. A lot of homosexuals have nice, short haircuts, as for a lot of lesbians. I think that's probably how you can identify them, these lesbians, by their nice. Listen, that's not right. Jesus said, make the cup clean inside first, then on the outside. So what we've gone through and what we go through is meant to change us. You understand me? If you had a past, everyone has a past. That's the name of this Bible study. If you were lustful and you had to have a woman, had to have a chick, had to have a girl, you get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, doesn't change, and married to, doesn't change that fact at all. What you're going to go back to, what the enemy is going to use against you to try to bring you back, is something that was already in your past. Now, once you find out that the soul, the mind, the emotions are not saved, and God does not live in your soul, he does not live in your mind, he doesn't live in your emotions except on a daily basis. That's why you must renew your mind every day. When you wake up, time to renew your mind again, because the enemy and the thoughts and the imaginations are right there, aren't they? Just right there waiting for you. So once you realize the tricks of the enemy as a believer, then you understand that God saved you to make you into the overcomer that he wants you to be. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name. Did Paul overcome? Absolutely. That was his destiny. And as he overcome, bit by bit, he changed from Saul to Paul. And that's God's plan for us too. Everyone has a past. And by what you partook of in your unsaved life, it's going to be the battleground in your mind for you to defeat it. But you can defeat it bit by bit. Amen. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is entitled, Everyone Has a Past. Your past determines your destiny. Time has run out for today. Two more weeks, and I will be back with you. Until then, may God keep you in perfect peace.